Judges in 1 Samuel, you'll find a small book named after one of the characters in the book named Ruth. This is one of the precious books in the Bible to me because there's so many pictures in the life of the peoples here that teach us and show us about redemption and about Jesus Christ our Savior and about the personal impacts on people's lives who God has worked to bring them to salvation. If you're familiar with the book of Ruth, you know that a man in the land of Bethlehem, Judea, went down into Moab. Now, Moab is south of Israel. Moab is named after the first son of Lot when he committed incest with his oldest daughter. Actually, she tricked him into it, made him drunk. But the Moabites lived to the south of Israel and somewhat to the east. And they were a terrible thorn inside of the nation of Israel most of the time of the history in the Bible. The Moabites caused Israel to sin. The king of Moab, Balak, hired Balaam to curse the nation of Israel as they traveled toward the land of Canaan. Moab would not let Israel go through their land to get to the promised land, the land of Canaan that God had promised them. They had to go around. So the Moabites were not a good people as far as God's purpose was concerned. They were actually under a curse because of some of the things they did to Israel. We'll read some about that in just a few minutes. But Ruth is a book which pictures many things concerning the grace of God. And the title of my message today is Ruth and God's Grace. The book is named after this woman. She's not the only character in it. You know that Naomi was at the beginning one of the main characters. As a matter of fact, she's interwoven throughout this book. She was Ruth's mother-in-law. And some very touching scenes in the book of Ruth. In chapter number 1, we'll just read a portion of it. They went down into Moab, and of course, Naomi's husband died. Elimelech was his name. God is my king, or my God is king, was what his name meant. But he went down into a land that he should not have gone to. God commanded the Israelites not to marry the Moabites, not to intermarry with them. But there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judea, and he went down there with his two sons and his wife, Naomi. And while he was there, he died. His two sons married Moabite women. Ruth was one of them. And as we look in this chapter, in verse 8, chapter 1, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. These women evidently loved the two sons of Elimelech. And she prays in verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice and wept. They loved Naomi. You notice down in verse number 14, they lift up their voice and wept again. And Orpah, or Paul, which way you want to pronounce it, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. You've heard this in marriage ceremonies, possibly. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from falling after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God, where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth refused to stay in the land of Moab, but she wanted to go with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And she did, and in chapter number 2, we find them now back up in Bethlehem of Judea. Naomi had a kinsman in verse 1 of chapter 2, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Now notice this, she's looking for grace. Let me go and glean ears of corn after him in the sight, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, her chance. We know that's not what really happened, but I just want to point that out to you. Her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came unto from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids or handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took that up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, as I go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any of the field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. As I said, the title of my message today, taken from these verses that we read, is Ruth and God's Grace. Who's Ruth? Well, we've read some of the things concerning her. She's a woman of Moab, which means she was not under the favor of God. The Moabites warred against Israel. They mocked them at times. They made fun of them. She's living in a strange land as far as the promises of God are concerned. She's away from the covenant of Abraham. Moab was the first son of Lot, as I said, by incest with his oldest daughter. She loved her mother-in-law. That's obvious. And she was determined to follow her, though it meant leaving the gods of Moab, and there were many. If you've ever read about Moab, they had so many gods, and they were wicked gods. They were not good gods. But she determined to leave Moab and the gods of her forefathers and go with Naomi because she loved her. This is what I want you to see today. Through this woman, David is born into this world. This woman was not of the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She was separated. And yet, God's grace brought her into the covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through marriage, into the family of Elimelech, and through traveling with Naomi back to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, she's going to be blessed wonderfully in the grace of God that she is. Remember, I pointed this out to you. She said, whose sight I shall find grace. She's looking for grace. And she finds it. Not because of her efforts. We know that. She didn't find grace, even as we didn't find grace because of our efforts. We found grace because of the great providential care of our God. He brought grace to us. When you read back in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3, I mentioned this earlier, and I want to read it. The last words of Moses to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, begin reading in verse number 1. I'm sorry, begin reading verse number 3. Chapter 23, verse 3. I'll get it out in a minute. Deuteronomy 23, verse number 3. Now, Ammon was the brother of Moab, also born of Lot by incest from his other daughter. The Bible says in verse 3, An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. They absolutely refused to be a part of the congregation of the Lord. They were refused. God said, Don't receive them. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Shut out. Because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. They wouldn't let them go through their land and they wouldn't let them have any bread or any water. They had to go around. And because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. just wanted you to see that they were excluded. The Moabites were excluded from being a part of the congregation of the Lord, but God in His grace, His wondrous grace, has a way of overcoming those things. Because this woman, Ruth, was brought into the family of Elimelech through marriage. Even through Elimelech's lack of faith and not believing God and leaving the place of blessing. Actually, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. He left because of famine. Went down into Moab. And his sons married, after he died, his sons married two Moabite women, strictly forbidden by God. And yet, isn't it wonderful how God overrules and makes that which should be a curse into a blessing? David is born. She is David's great grandmother, if I read the scriptures right, and I think I do. Some say grandmother, I believe David's great grandmother. But through this woman, Ruth, David is born into the world, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the great king of Israel, the man that we've learned to admire, the man that is so comforting as we read the psalms that he wrote. I preached from, as I said, from Psalm 56 the other night. David said in that psalm, God's for me. And that was the title of a message. God is for me. And it's found in two other of David's psalms. He said, if it had not been that the Lord was for us. David, the great king of Israel, the one who brought them into great prominence of all the nations around them, came through this woman. And yet she was a stranger. She was cut off. Now I want you to apply these things to your own situation. And I think you can. The particular history of the life of Ruth points out how God dealt in grace with her. From a cursed land, where she should not have been able to marry an Israelite. She should not have even been able to be a part of the congregation of Israel. Yet here she is, having returned with Naomi, destitute. I believe both of them were destitute. Elimelech was dead, and Naomi's two sons were dead, so much so that she said, don't call me Naomi anymore, earlier in chapter 1. Naomi means pleasant. She said, call me Mara, which means bitter. She said, the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. And in dealing bitterly with Naomi, what is God doing as He brings her back to the place of bread, back to the house of the Lord, back to the place called Bethlehem? Special place, wasn't it? He brings her back. She's bitter. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Because the Lord hath dealt so bitterly with me. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She even lost one of her daughter-in-laws. But she has one. But you'll notice, she's in need of grace, as we read and pointed out in verse 3. She went and came and gleaned because she's trying to find grace in verse 2. So she goes out to work for their living. I mean, they have no means. They have no land. Elimelech's land is gone. That's what the kinsman redeemer is going to be about. Boaz is a kinsman of Elimelech. But they have nothing. So Ruth goes out working in the fields. And does she find grace? Verse 8, chapter 2. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, she found favor in the eyes of Boaz. She happed upon the field of Boaz. Now you can call it chance, I call it providence. I call it God bringing this to the point He wanted it. He brought her to Boaz's field, and she began to work in the field. She didn't know anything about it. Is it not the way God dealt with many of us. Lost, ignorant of the things of God. Somewhat aware of the presence of God because He gives us that by creation. We're born with that. And yet, separated from the blessing of God, far from God, as Paul says concerning the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2, without the covenant promise. But she haps on the field of Boaz. But Boaz notices her immediately. Verse 5, Boaz said unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Something about her caught his eye immediately. You can think it was just luck. You can call it luck. I call it providence. God's working, beloved. Don't ever forget that God is working in our lives and everything that happens to us. His providence is guiding us when we're so ignorant of what's going on, and yet He's controlling events, bringing us into situations where He wants us to be. But again, back to verse number 8. I'm sorry, verse 10. Then she fell on her face when he spoke to her, told her, stay in his fields, glean after his reapers. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Remember the words of David when God said, I'm going to build you a house? When he went into the house of the Lord, what did he say? Who am I? Who am I? Isn't that what she's saying? Now, this is great-grandmother. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She found grace that which she's looking for. And she doesn't understand it. Is that not true in our lives? Are we not at times confused why God saved us? Maybe out of a family? And God saved us out of a whole group of people? Does it not concern us and puzzle us at times? Why did we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? She says, why did I find grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger, seeing I'm a sinner? Why did God bring grace to us? Boaz answered in verse 11 and said, it's been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. In other words, he knew who she was. Immediately when they told him that this is the woman that came back with Naomi, he knew who she was. Verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings I has come to trust. You've left the gods of the Moabites. You've left the land of your nativity. You've left your other sister-in-law, and you've come back here to this place. May God bless you richly, because you come to Him and you've trust yourself under His wings. Now, what happened when God saved us? We left a lot of things. I don't want to get into my personal life. That happens too much in preaching. But let me just say that every one of us here have a testimony of what we left when God saved us. We left some things. Maybe it was tendency to drink, or to commit fornication, or all the other sins that we find in the Bible. God saves us out of some things. He calls us out of some things into His marvelous grace. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. Is that what happened to us? When God shows us His grace, we want more of it. I do, don't you? I want more grace. I woke up this morning singing a song. I sang it in the shower. I didn't wake my wife up. Just songs that just come to my heart and mind, just out of nowhere, that I knew from years ago, about serving the Lord. Let me lose my life and find it, Lord, in Thee. Let all self be slain, mine eyes. Thine eyes see only me. Though it cost me grief and pain, I'll find my life again. If I lose my life and find it, Lord, in Thee. When you know the grace of God, you want more of the grace of God. You want to know more about Jesus? Let me learn. More of His holy will and discern. So she wants more. Because that just comes with the grace that God has brought her under. She was in great need of grace. And she found it in Boaz. It wasn't by chance. It was by the design of God. God would have a David, a man after His own heart. He knew about David before Samuel went to anoint him. God would have His David, and He would use one outside the lineage of Abraham to bring that about. That's not the only person in the lineage of Christ that God used. We know there are others. But God's so wise, and He's so patient, and He's so forgiving, and He's so full of grace. She has found a kinsman, He goes on to tell us. In verse 20 of chapter 2, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left his kindness to the living and to the dead." When Elimelech left Bethlehem, he lost all of the lands that were his by decree from God. He's dead now. It's up in the air. But she can't claim it. Naomi can't claim it. It had to be a man. She could not claim that parcel that belonged to Elimelech. But here is a near kinsman. In verse 20, as we read on, Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." From this we get the teaching that you may hear about at times, a kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He became one with us. He became flesh that He might redeem us. We find in Hebrews, let's turn and read this, in the second chapter, I believe pointing to the kinsman redeemer, that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes for our benefit. In verse number 9 of Hebrews 2, but we see Jesus. Boaz found Ruth by the grace of God, by the providence of God. She falls into his field. But notice this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. David was a picture, an illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ with his power and his reign, that he reigned over all Israel and all those lands around him. But notice verse 10, for it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, is our kinsman redeemer. It became him. Verse number 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. This kinsman redeemer, Boaz, was a picture long, long ago of the coming redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who'd redeem his people from their sins. Now, Elimelech will eventually redeem, not Elimelech, but Boaz will eventually redeem the lands of Elimelech. He'll eventually claim back that which Elimelech lost when he left and went into Moab and died there. He's a kinsman redeemer. And it means so much to Naomi and to Ruth. It means so much to her life and to her family and to her children that are going to be born of her. She's going to be married to this man. We can't cover all this in the book of Ruth. It's such a wonderful book. I just love to preach right through it because you get so much more out of it. But I just want to preach on the grace of God that we see in this woman's life. A stranger, a Moabite, under the curse of God, separated from the congregation of Israel. But God brings her in. Isn't that a picture of what God did with us? He brought us into His family. He brought us into His grace. And He saved us by His grace. All these beautiful pictures. We fell in Adam. The first Adam brought death and destruction. But the second Adam is our kinsman redeemer. He brings life, eternal life. God's grace towards sinners. Without hope in the world. You've heard my story before. I tried everything. I had a serious attitude about God, and I don't know what it was, but I guess God instilled it in me. But I wanted to be right with God, and I couldn't find the answer. But God's providence brought me and the grace of God together in a Baptist church in Lexington, where I heard the truth. Now let's turn to chapter 4 in the book of Ruth and look at the closing of this book and point these things out to you. Talking about the lineage here of Pharaoh, who of course whom Christ would come. But let's read just verses 21 and 22. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. You see how this woman is used of God? She married Boaz, and she had a son named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man who has touched all of our lives through reading his prophecies concerning Christ in Psalm 22. Or the comforting Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This man came into this world through this woman by the grace of God that he brought to her in bringing her back into Bethlehem and letting her taste of the promises that God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that she could not be a part of, but by God's grace. A recipient of the grace of God, she received personally this great blessing of being the great-grandmother or the grandmother, depending on which one yet. It looks to me like it's great-grandmother David. When she came to Boaz, I just want to stress this again as we close. Verse 10, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy sight? If you're here today and you're lost, you can't really say that yet, but you can. If you'll humble yourself before God and cry out as she did to Boaz, she fell on her face. She asked why she had found grace. And she didn't understand why she had found this grace. Why have you taken knowledge of me? I'm a Moabite. I'm a stranger. Why are you doing this? And those of us who are saved, we feel the same thing, do we not? Why did God save me? There's billions of people on the face of this earth in this generation. Why did He save me? He doesn't save everybody. Why did He take knowledge of me? Was there something about me? I think not. I think there was something in Him. As John says, He loved us before we loved Him. Under whose wings we've come to trust, what of you? Are you trusting under the wings of the Almighty God? the Father who sent his Son into the world that he might be our kinsman redeemer, that he might give his life that we might be saved. You see, Boaz just bought back a piece of property. But our kinsman redeemer bought millions of souls through the sacrifice of himself. We're redeemed by his blood, the Bible says. We're redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. I'm redeemed, O grace divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. Remember that song? We sing that in a congregation. Do we think about it when we're singing? Our kinsman redeemer paid much more of a price in his redemption than Boaz ever paid for that piece of land that he bought back for Abimelech and Naomi and Ruth and the generations that followed. Christ loved us, not ashamed. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. I know there are times when we're ashamed to think that he's our brother. If you've got a conscience and you know who you are, you really understand how far short you come of his glory. But he's our kinsman redeemer by the grace of God. And only by the grace of God we've been saved. May God help you to understand that if you're saved and rejoice in it. Take the words of David, how he gloried in the Lord. The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my rock. All the things that he said. He said those because his grandmother, under the grace of God, was brought to Boaz. And through the two of them, they had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David. And we have all the writings in this book that David is the author of because of the grace of God, because of God's providence, because of God's plan.